Good morning, and welcome to the Wednesday, February 18th edition of Southern Champaign County Today. My name is Lori Talkington for the Illinois Radio Reader, and today's date is Thursday, February 19th, 2026. The front page today features some great February fun at Unity West Elementary School in Tolono. This article by Diane Ducey. Unity West Elementary School in Tolono has been buzzing with activity. Parent-teacher conferences took place on Thursday, February 12th, after an 11:15 a.m. early school dismissal. Buford's Restaurant in Sadorus did a Dine to Donate Day, with 10% of the food sales being donated back to the parent-teacher organization. With the long weekend, including Friday, February 13th, with Teachers Institute, and Monday, February 16th, President's Day holiday, on Sunday, February 15th, from 6 to 8 p.m., Skateland sponsored a special event for students and their families. Another way to give back to the school while having fun is by attending the Glow Bingo fundraiser on Saturday, February 28th at the R.E. Franks Center at 127 Washington Street in Philo, and the games will start at 7 p.m. Food trucks will be on hand at 5 p.m., and the doors will open at 5:30 p.m. Of course, there will be other opportunities to participate in a host of activities between the games and get extra early bird and night owl cards and more special treats. Also in February, some of the teachers at Unity West participated in a staff bonding duck search challenge, looking for 450 rubber duckies that were hidden around the school. After much laughter, strategizing, collaboration, and teamwork to collect as many miniature plastic ducks as possible, the Quackheads team claimed victory with an impressive 186 points, or rather, ducks. Another event for some of the young Rockets to enjoy happened during the recent sold-out University of Illinois women's basketball game, which included a salute to women and girls in sports. Illini cheerleaders did a clinic that involved some first and second grade students all dressed in pink. The Play for K cancer awareness game on Sunday, February 8th, had over 15,000 fans in attendance. What a great day at Unity West. Let's dive right into our community news and notes, starting with the weekly newsletter from the Philo Library. And they begin, "We hope you're enjoying the warm weather spell. It's the time of the year for gardeners to start planning, and we have just added 3 new titles to help in that planning. Bring the beauty, hardiness, and heritage of native plants to your own backyard with our wonderful new book, Native Plants in the Home Landscape, by Keith Nowakowski. Combining practicality with imagination, the author leads you down a path to your own private woodland, prairie, or savanna. If you're looking for environmentally sound growing information for both edible and ornamental plants, here is your green thumb map to success. It's called Midwest Gardener's Handbook by Melinda Myers. It includes profiles of more than 250 plants proven to thrive in our Midwest climate, including shrubs, perennials, annuals, vegetables, fruits, herbs, vines, and more, all of which will help you select the best plants to create a beautiful landscape or a high-yielding edible garden. In our next book, Illinois Getting Started Garden Guide, a born and bred Midwestern gardener, Shauna Coronado, showcases more than 150 plant species destined for success throughout all of Illinois, from flowers and shrubs such as the Blazing Star and the early spring beautiful flowering witch hazel, to trees and vines such as the ginkgo and the exquisite clematis, or clematis as it is also pronounced. Each entry features full color photography, plant name pronunciations, helpful icons denoting sun and shade requirements, and various plant qualities, as well as instructions for how to bring the plant from transplant to maturity, and even includes recommendations for what you should plant nearby. This is only a small sample of the books available for you at the Philo Public Library. You can check them out or peruse them in the library. Have a great week, and from everybody at the Philo Library, keep on reading. What a great and upbeat start to the new gardening season, isn't it? Next up, we have news from the Tolono Library, and they begin, "Dearest Gentle Reader, are you a fan of the popular Netflix series Bridgerton? Or perhaps you've even read the original books by Julia Quinn? Regardless of where your fandom lies, we will be testing your knowledge of the Bridgertons and their romances with Bridgerton Trivia on Saturday, February 21st, from 3:30 to 5 p.m. at the Tolono Library. We have prizes for the top three victors, and as with all our trivia events, you're welcome to dress in your finest evening wear to gain extra points for your trivia team. That same day, prior to the Bridgerton trivia, from 1 to 3 in the afternoon, our new monthly euchre tournament will take place. Again, this is Saturday, February 21st, from 1 to 3 p.m. This month, we'll be trying for a more traditional style tournament, euchre tournament. So make sure you RSVP on our website or call the library to let us know that you'll be attending our euchre tournament on February 21st. This week's Dungeons and is also Dungeons and Dragons Week. Our youth and adult campaigns will meet on Thursday, February 19th, from 4 to 5 p.m. and from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m., respectively. And this is for Dungeons and Dragons Week. Our teen campaign will meet on Monday, February 23rd, from 5:30 to 7:30 in the evening. Mom's Night Out returns this month on Tuesday, February 24th, from 5:30 to 7 p.m. And back by popular demand, we'll be painting wine glasses. But this time, we'll also have the beverages to go in them. This is a 21-year-old and up event, and we'll need to check your IDs at the entrance to the meeting room. There are only a few spots left, so please register as soon as possible as space is limited. And again, this is for our wine glass painting class and the beverage to fill them on February 24th, Tuesday, from 5:30 to 7. Don't forget to visit our website for the most recent updates and all the details on all these great upcoming February events. And follow along with the fun on our Facebook and Instagram pages for the Tolono Library. Next up, we have the weekly report from The Giving Place. Last Wednesday, The Giving Place served 7 families, which made up of 29 people and 19 children. The food donated totaled $550, which was about 11 boxes full of food at about $50 per box. All the food we give out at the Giving Place is donated or purchased through cash donations from our very generous community. The giving place is in need of the following items: saltine crackers, canned pears, and canned carrots. Thanks to Linda, Joellen, Tisa, Dale, and Mike for serving our clients on Wednesday night. Feel free to visit some Wednesday evening and see all the blessings that are happening, and maybe you'll want to become part of it yourself. Next, we take a look at the nighttime sky, courtesy of David Leakey, who is retired director of the Starkel Planetarium at Parkland College. This column covers the period February 18th to the 24th, and he begins by noting that tonight, a thin crescent moon can be seen near the planet Mercury, low in the west-southwest sky. You'll need an unobstructed view of the horizon to catch it. Venus is below Mercury and will be the brighter of the two, plus Saturn, which is to the upper left of Mercury. Mercury reaches its greatest separation from the Sun, something we call an elongation, on Thursday evening, when the Moon appears in the upper right of Saturn. Continue to watch these three planets after the Moon leaves the scene. Venus will climb in altitude and approach Mercury. The pair will appear side by side on February 28th. Then Mercury plunges sunward to pass between the Earth and the Sun. Venus will be with us throughout the summer. The Moon will continue to move westward to sit near the Pleiades star cluster next Monday evening. Given the brilliance of the Moon, you can use binoculars, if you have them, to see the Dipper-shaped star cluster. Of course, the Pleiades are also known as the Seven Sisters. They are located at 444 light-years away. The Pleiades are one of the nearest clusters to us here on Earth. Next, we focus on the Rocket Rundown with our student writer, Olivia Withreft. And she begins, "It's been a short week and a sweet one for the Rockets this week with only two games played. Last Tuesday, the Rockets played the Illinois Valley Conference Ghosts and the Rockets won 76-66. They then went on to play Pontiac on Friday with a final score of 77-65, picking up their 17th consecutive win. Go Rockets! They will compete in Normal against University High on Tuesday, and this Friday is senior night, and the boys will be playing Oakwood at 5:30 p.m. Girls basketball had only one game this week. They played Westville at home for senior night. The girls played with force and won 48-39. This week they'll compete in regional semifinals at St. Joe on Monday and hopefully will go on to the finals on Thursday at Bismarck Henning High School. Both the boys and girls wrestling teams competed in sectionals on Friday and Saturday. The girls competed at North Mac, and both Ava Beldo and Phoenix Molina cleared their way to go to state. Only three boys qualified for state this year. They are A.J. Daly in the 138-pound class, Abe Davidson at the 165-pound mark, and Josh Heath at the 175-pound mark. Boys State will start on Thursday and go through Saturday, while Girls State isn't scheduled until the end of the month. Track and field had their second meet of the indoor season on Friday, where they competed at the Armory again. Emma Swisher did what she does and ran fast. She placed first in both the 60-meter and the 200-meter. Jillian Schlittler and Ava Jones took second and third in the 60-meter behind Swisher. Ryan Akers placed first in the 800-yard meet, and Maddie Sutherland placed first in the 60-meter hurdles. In the 1600, the Unity Long Distance Trio took first, second, and third place. Fairbanks, Crow, and Graven all had PRs in that event. Next Wednesday, there will be a throwers only meet at Tuscola, and the rest of the team will compete at ALAH on the 27th. The Unity Rockettes competed in state finals for the Illinois Drill Team Association on Saturday, where they placed third in Class 2A hip hop. Our great congratulations to this brand new team to place in state final competitions. And next up, Parkland College is announcing the Regional Science Olympiad for middle school and high school students throughout East Central Illinois. On Saturday, February 21st, middle and high school students will compete in various hands-on activities to solve problems across a variety of disciplines, featuring the Science Olympiad 2026, which will have meets in the areas of biology, chemistry, and technology. Students will classify minerals, solve crimes, and identify features of the solar system. During regionals, each team will participate in 23 events held across the Parkland campus. The Donald C. Dodds Jr. Athletic Center Gym will host flight and vehicle events. The Flag Lounge and Gallery Lounge in the X-Wing will be where students will build cantilevers and Rube Goldberg-like devices. The Science Olympiad Award ceremonies will begin in the gym at 3:15 p.m. for middle school students and 4 p.m. for high school students. Again, this is all on Saturday, February 21st at Parkland College. The top teams will earn a chance to compete at the state tournament at the University of Illinois on Saturday, April 18th. The Science Olympiad is an international nonprofit organization devoted to improving the quality of science education, increasing student interest in science, and providing recognition for outstanding achievements in science education by both teachers and students. Volunteers for this event will be provided with breakfast and lunch on Saturday, February 21st, and volunteer signups are available now. We welcome you to this really exciting event. Next up, we want to cover some important news regarding the expansion of data centers throughout Illinois. This is called the Power Act, and it was introduced by the Illinois Clean Jobs Coalition. Advocates and legislators are touting data center legislation to keep rates from skyrocketing, protect our water resources, and prevent pollution. At a press conference in Champaign earlier this week, the Illinois Clean Jobs Coalition, State Representative Carol Ammons, and local advocates announced the Power Act, which is landmark legislation to protect Illinois families, communities, and our climate from the growing impacts of energy and water-intensive data centers. As massive data centers rapidly expand across Illinois, already overburdened communities are feeling the effects of big tech's unchecked electricity demands. Increased pollution, higher electricity costs, and strained water supplies hit these communities first and worst. A recent report from the Union of Concerned Scientists found that data centers will account for up to 72% of electricity demand growth in Illinois by 2030, and they will increase electricity system costs in Illinois by up to $37 billion through this decade. The Power Act recognizes this urgent crisis and establishes nation-leading guardrails to ensure that big tech pays its fair share while protecting Illinois ratepayers from skyrocketing costs. Communities across Illinois are already struggling with rising utility bills and environmental harm. And unchecked data center growth only makes that worse, said the Illinois Clean Jobs Coalition. The Power Act is about protecting our families and communities. By requiring data centers to pay their fair share, we can ensure Illinoisans aren't forced to subsidize big tech and protect our water and air for generations to come. The Power Act establishes common sense guardrails on data centers that will minimize the impact on our utility bills, our climate, and our water. We're working on this bill to ensure that our communities are not stuck holding the bag in this new technology landscape, said State Representative Carol Ammons, D. Champaign. We can and should bring our new technologies and economic development to our state, but it can't be done at the expense of our people. The Power Act directly addresses skyrocketing electricity costs driven by unprecedented data center demand. Under the bill, data centers will be required to bring new clean energy resources to the grid, and they will be prohibited from shifting infrastructure and capacity costs onto everyday consumers. The key energy provisions of the Power Act include prohibitions on cost shifting, so utilities cannot pass their energy costs on to ordinary ratepayers. The requirements under the Bring Your Own New Clean Capacity and Energy requirements ensure that data centers power their operations with new, locally deliverable, renewable energy and battery storage. Incentives for clean energy leadership, allowing responsible data centers to connect to the grid faster when they meet ambitious clean energy benchmarks. Also included will be locally driven accountability for municipal electric utilities and cooperatives to ensure that public power entities are prepared to meet data center demands without passing costs onto consumers. Together, these policies will protect families from higher bills while accelerating investment in clean, reliable energy across Illinois. The power bill should also safeguard Illinois' water resources. Large data centers can consume millions of gallons of water per day, threatening local supplies and our own long-term water planning. Yet Illinois currently lacks basic transparency and protections around this growing industrial demand for water. The Power Act establishes common sense water safeguards, including the following items: transparent reporting of water use, so that communities can know how much water the data centers will take and use and discharge. It will establish water efficiency standards, requiring assessments of cooling alternatives and mandating highly efficient systems. The Power Act will also address fair cost requirements, ensuring that data centers pay their full share when connecting to public water systems. Drinking water protections will be reviewed by the Illinois State Water Survey to protect drinking water supplies and quality. Strong pollution protections and engagement requirements will be set for all local communities. Data centers are often sited in communities already burdened by pollution, where diesel backup generators and increased power demands can worsen health outcomes. The Power Act protects vulnerable communities by placing enforceable protections where they are needed most. The bill will also limit diesel generator pollution, allowing backup generators to run only during true emergencies. The Power Act will require cumulative impact assessments before a data center will be sited near any environmental justice or equity investment eligible communities. The Power Act will also guarantee transparent public engagement, including binding community benefits agreements and prohibitions on non-disclosure agreements with local governments. The Power Act will also create a public benefits and affordability fund funded by the data centers to support energy bill assistance, home efficiency upgrade, air quality monitoring, and water infrastructure in impacted communities. What's next? Well, the Illinois Clean Jobs Coalition will continue building momentum to pass the Power Act with advocates and legislators across the state. For more information, you can visit their website, which I will spell out for you after it is titled ilcleanjobs.org. IL Clean Jobs is all one word. There you can get more information about the Illinois Clean Jobs Coalition pushing this new Power Act to protect us from the impacts of data centers. And next up, we have some very interesting news about the penny shortage, which is now causing headaches for retailers throughout Illinois. At the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library and Museum in Springfield, visitors can shop for sweatshirts, pillows, jewelry, and chocolates using coins bearing the face of the most famous Illinoisan, Abraham Lincoln. But even here at the Lincoln Museum, pennies are growing scarce at the cash register. The museum gift shop, like the rest of the country, is grappling with a penny shortage after the United States Mint halted production of the coin last November, citing the rising cost of producing them. The lack of fixed guidance from the state or federal governments about how to cope with the shortage of new pennies has left some business owners scrambling to come up with ways to address it. Many retailers are just rounding up or down to the nearest 0 or 5 cent mark in their prices in order to make change. They will accept the 1 cent coins, but they cannot always give them back as change. The retailers face frustration on behalf of the consumers, said Rob Carr, president of the Illinois Retail Merchants Association. Most retailers are rounding in the consumer's favor, which doesn't make the consumer mad, but it also takes profits out of the retailer and puts them at the narrowest end of the net profit margin. So every penny matters here. I think the absence of clear guidance at the moment is really difficult. Some businesses, like the Lincoln Museum gift shop, display a guide on how its rounding system works. The museum, for example, rounds amounts ending in 1 or 2 cents down to 0, but it then rounds amounts ending in 3 or 4 cents up to 5 cents, and amounts ending in 6 or 7 cents get rounded down to 5 cents. However, other business owners say this kind of multi-tiered rounding system can be inconvenient and confusing. For many Illinoisans, there is a sad end-of-an-era feeling watching the slow disappearance of the 1 cent coin, which was one of the first coins made by the U.S. Mint after its establishment in 1792. President Lincoln's profile has been on the heads side since 1909, and that change made him the first president featured on a U.S. coin in honor of his 100th birthday. Mary Dressler has been working as a volunteer at the Lincoln Museum for over 20 years since its founding in 2005. As a die-hard fan of Lincoln, she sees the decision to stop penny production as a sad but sensible decision. "It kind of breaks my heart," she said. "I think it's a good tribute to Mr. Lincoln, but I understand that it's costing 4 cents to make a 1 cent penny. So there's a part of us that has to be practical, too, she said. Keith Weatherall, executive director of the Illinois Licensed Beverage Association, which represents a handful of small, cash-reliant or cash-exclusive businesses, has practical concerns, too. He worries that the inconvenience posed by complicated rules around the rounding strategy could affect customers' sentiments. The one thing that we would really lobby against was any type of bouncing around from city to city where you have all these different rules. We want to just minimize the confusion, he said. And that's pretty much our attitude as well. This concludes our reading of this week's edition of Southern Champagne Today. My name is Lori Talkington for the Illinois Radio Reader, and I invite you to join us again next week.